Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
The Eagles are at the podium, and it is game day, week four of the NFL preseason. This all, of course, brought to you by the fine folk at SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation. I am your host, Michael Kist, and we got a loaded day here at BGN. In this show, you're going to hear three press conferences. First up, you'll hear from Doug Peterson giving us a peek at how things are looking headed into this week four tilt with the Jets that will decide the fate of some of these roster bubble situations. After the break, you'll hear from offensive coordinator Mike Groh, followed by defensive coordinator Jim Schwartz. Also on BGN today, you're going to get a special interview as John Stolness spoke with Kevin Harlan, the longtime play-by-play man, brilliant man. Harlan was kind enough to take some time away from his busy schedule to speak with Stolness, so look forward to that. Plus, a quick update regarding the newest on the Jadeveon Clowney situation. According to a report from the Houston Chronicle's Aaron Wilson, quote, although the Dolphins are regarded widely in NFL circles as the frontrunner to land Clowney, with Miami general manager Chris Greer talking with him weeks ago in advance of his visit last weekend, should he agree to report and sign his roughly $16 million tender, they're not the only viable destination. The Texans have worked the phones and have reached out to multiple teams about a potential trade for the former top overall pick from South Carolina, including two of his preferred teams, the Seattle Seahawks and the Philadelphia Eagles, according to league sources not authorized to speak publicly. Other NFL teams the Texans are known to have spoken with, per sources, include Washington and the New York Jets, unquote. We, of course, will be tracking that situation here at BGN, not only on the podcast feed, but leadinggreennation.com. And we'll also be recapping tonight's game with the Jets with a new Kist and Solak recap show, where we'll break down what happened and what it might mean for the roster cutdown. So vacation is over, boys. We're extremely close to real, meaningful football. So keep it here with us by subscribing to BGN to keep up to date on your Philadelphia Eagles. And part of keeping informed is hearing what the coaches had to say. So we're going to kick it to those recent pressers. It's Doug Peterson first from August 27th, followed by Groh, and then Schwartz from August 26th. Let's go to the podium.
Have you seen enough from Josh McCown yet, or do you still want to see him in the offense on Thursday?
I mean, obviously, you'd love to see more. You know, we are down to the wire right here, and we're still evaluating every position. And so it's hard. It's a fine line there. But you know, obviously, what he did last week was good, and probably good enough. You know, so we'll see.
What do you know about Henry Pollard?
Guy is, you know, I haven't watched a ton of tape on him, but I know this just talking even to some of our players, and then, you know, I know he played with Nelly and all of that, and this guy's a thumper. He's a good player. He's athletic. You know, it's going to be – it's hard, obviously, trying to learn a defense in 24, 48 hours, but, you know, he'll do the best he can to come in and learn and be in a position to help us Thursday.
How has brought in 15 guys, or you guys have brought in 15 guys since camp started? 13 of them are still here. What advantage does that give you as far as evaluating the most possible people in a short period of time?
Well, I think it's twofold. I think, one, the guys that were here previous, right, we've worked with those guys. Even though you have to let some of those guys go to bring these 15 or so in, we have history on the guys we had to let go. So if there is an injury or something down the road during the season, we know about these guys. They're familiar with us. And then kind of on the same note is these new guys that come in, we get another evaluation on them, and probably for the same reasons. If there is something that happens during the regular season, these guys can be called upon to come in. They know your team. They know your kind of your structure, and it makes an easier fit.
You were no Fletcher Cox. Openers creeping up here. What's reasonable expectations for him?
Well, you know, as I said the other day, you know, I fully expect, you know, these guys to be ready for week one. They're getting themselves prepared for week one. you know, so that's reasonable. He has been working. He's still getting his workouts in, and he's been going through all our walkthroughs and getting the mental side of it. So it leads me to believe that he'll be ready. Fletcher's a guy that knows how to prepare, knows how to get himself ready, and I would have no concern if that was the case.
You have to prepare for the possibility. It was not just Fletcher, but I guess Nigel and maybe Derek Barnett and Darby, that they might not be able to take the full workload if they come back in week one.
Yeah, I mean, that's something we've discussed. Those are things you plan for. You got to plan for all of that. And, you know, we had great experience at that last year with the amount of injuries. But some of these guys you mentioned have been practicing with us, and they've been looking good in practice. Some even got in the game last week. So, again, you know, it's reasonable that, everybody will be ready next week.
How much influence does Dave Phipp have on a lot of the bottom of the roster decisions you guys are going to have to make here after Thursday's game?
His voice, his opinion matters. I stress a lot with this football team that it takes all three phases, offense, defense, and special teams. He has a really good impact of the bottom, say the bottom third or so of the roster. And really even some of our starters that have to play, we ask a starter from time to time to play at least one unit of special teams. So he sees these guys work every day in drill work and the special teams portion of practice. It makes a difference. It makes an impact on, the guys we keep at the bottom.
A year ago this time, Carson was really pushing to be ready by week one. You guys hadn't yet made a decision. But
he's ready this year. He's ready this year, if you're wondering.
What's he been doing differently this week? What's the different feel that you're getting from him?
I think it goes all the way back to, even the end of the season. Just how he approached the off season. He was determined to, number one, be healthy. The way he attacked his rehab, he was diligent in his rehab. He trusted the doctors. He trusted, the team around him that was helping him physically get back. And then just as we progressed through the OTAs with the practices, how we structured practice, and just each day he kept getting stronger and stronger and on into camp. Training camp was set up that way, with that in mind, to have all our starters prepared and ready to go for week one. I've seen nothing but improvement, each week of training camp with him. He's had some really good practices here as of late, and I feel comfortable and that he's ready to go.
When you lost the quarter last week, due to your evaluation process, I know the coach was going to play that whole fourth quarter. Some of the other guys were going to get in there, and you kind of lose that.
Yeah, you do. The fortunate thing is we have this week to get those guys in and play a lot, it is. I've been a part of games where, especially preseason games, as a player and as a coach, where we lose a portion of a preseason game like that due to weather. Can't control it. It's unfortunate for the player because you do want to get him in the game and evaluate him. But we've got another game Thursday that we'll get a really good feel for a lot of these guys.
As a player, we've kind of talked a lot about the shifting landscape of the preseason. This fourth game, has that changed for you at all? Or that back end of the roster, could somebody play well and earn a spot?
From a philosophical standpoint, it hasn't changed for me. Obviously, you go in, you rest your guys. You rest your starters, so-called starters. This is a valuable time for a lot of these young players, because a lot of times it comes down to those special teams reps that we talk about, the guys that your 51st, 52nd, 53rd guy that are possibly starters on special teams. And so it's important. It's important to them. It's important to us as coaches, as evaluators, to see these guys perform, put them in successful, as good of a successful situation as we can, so that they can succeed on the football field. So this last game is very important. I've been a part of these games, and so I know what it's about. For me, this was my season. My whole season possibly came down to one game. So it's big for a lot of players.
Speaking of that, Doug, as a player, you went through this process and didn't make the team several times. Is there one particular one that stands out as sort of the most painful or anything like that?
Yeah, the biggest one was in 1995. I was with Miami Dolphins, and they had just signed Dan McGuire that offseason. I came into training camp. I felt like I had outperformed him, you know, and outplayed him. I was the fourth guy on the roster and ended up getting released at the end of training camp. And of course, you're disappointed. You know, you're a little bitter and kind of upset about it. But it was actually a blessing in disguise because I later signed in Green Bay that year and spent 8 years in Green Bay. So, you know, this is not the end of the road for these players, you know. I tell them all the time that obviously competing for our team, but again, there's 31 other teams that are looking at our roster to see who gets released and who stays and all of that. So, you know, your dream is never over, you know, and it was my case in 95 where I went to Green Bay and had a chance to play on two Super Bowl teams and go from there.
Hey, Doug, for some,
you tell those guys, like, you know, the guys who are on the bubble, like, you know, try not to worry about, you know, this week, you know, the game Thursday.
I do. I do the best I can to kind of ease their mind, you know, a little bit on this week and what this week is about. It is tough. It's hard. And, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty. Am I going to make it or not? I think at this point of the you know, training camp, in their mind, they kind of see exactly kind of what's in front of them. You know, I try to explain to them, like, listen, you can't count the numbers of guys in line. You just gotta make every rep count and every play count. So I know it can be a little bit of a distracting week for some of these players, but at the same time, you still want them to go out and play and play well.
You lost some production at defensive end this offseason with Chris Long and Michael Bennett. Have you seen enough from the guys that are slated to take their roles to where you think you're set there, or do you need more?
Yeah, I mean, I think you look at it, obviously the addition of Vinnie Curry helps. You know, Derek Barnett's been practicing and been doing extremely well. So we get him back, you know, this year. BG, and he's solid. Then you're looking at, you know, you're looking at Deshaun Hall, you're looking at Josh Sweat, and then of course, you know, Sharif Miller. There's three young players there that have played a lot in preseason and will play again, you know, Thursday night, get quite a few snaps. So you know, that last spot is kind of, you know, one of three players, quite frankly. And they've all done a great job. Looking forward to Thursday night to see how they you know, play and you know, give us that rush that we need, because we play so many guys up front. You know, we at least eight guys, four ends, four tackles in game. So it's a great way to them, for either any one of them, to see the field.
Any more questions? Terrell Otto was in a practice yesterday. Do you have any further reason?
Just he low back with him, just resting him. We're gonna get some more evaluation today and have an answer. But should be, you know, should be fine. We'll just got to see after we get more results.
For something,
I carried a heavy load last week in last week's preseason game. Are you comfortable that you have seen enough from him going forward into the regular season? And what might the running back rotation look like?
Yeah, Corey, you know, Corey obviously had missed a considerable amount of time. Last week was big for him, stepping in and playing. I thought he played well. I think one of the things when players don't play for a while, they kind of can rush through some things, and especially the running back position. And, you know, you just want him to kind of slow down. He did well, but I think there's times where he could have just slowed his eyes down a little bit and you know, found the hole a little bit better that way. But he ran hard. He ran physical, just like we know Corey can do. He's attacked his rehab, obviously, you know, well, and is in his good position. You know, again, it's a great thing to see. I mean, we've had a lot of depth at the running back spot this training camp, and you know, guys will get one more opportunity this week to see what they can do and you know, try to make the 53.
For some head coaches who call plays, they use the preseason to give an assistant a chance to do it. Is that something you've done or have considered at all?
I've done it in the past. You know, I did it with Frank. You know, and something that Mike and I have discussed even this week and moving forward. Yeah.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com. Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Yeah.
Alex Ellis, Will Tye, and Josh Perkins have all kind of played a lot during the preseason. Yeah. What stood out to you about the three of them?
Well, we like their skill sets. Certainly, they're intelligent guys. Have been able to, follow with all the installations and done well from that standpoint. They're all a little bit different, but Will's probably he's done more stuff in line. We've been able to move Perk around, and then Alex just figuring out what he does really well, and this is a tough guy who's been able to integrate himself quickly into our system.
A guy's a late arrival like yeah. Alex, how does that play into the evaluation process?
You just try to evaluate everything that he's doing, and like you said, he's been given more opportunities maybe than he otherwise would have because of the numbers there and the injury situation. So he's got an ample opportunity to get out there and do some things both in practice and the games, and I think he's represented himself very well.
Jason Kelce, how much does he impact the offense, and what are the great advantages of having a guy like him?
That experience? Oh my gosh. We could go on for a long time talking about all the positives that Jason Kelce brings to our offense and our team from a leadership standpoint, from a communication standpoint, from an idea standpoint. He can be another, extension of the coaching staff or Coach Stoutland out there on the field in terms of recognizing the fronts, the coverages, those kinds of things, and getting that communicated, getting us in the right call, pointing us in the right direction, being another resource for the quarterback out there, for Carson, and taking some off his plate and being able to, direct traffic that way too. So he's a veteran guy. He's experienced. He's very talented. And he's decisive, so you trust his eyes and he can make a call and everybody will roll with it.
You mentioned that leadership thing too.
That
kind of blue collar edge that he has, is that easily relatable to his teammates?
I think so. I think his teammates love him. I know we love him as a coaching staff and hope that he can play for another 10 years.
If Jordan Mailata had to play in a regular season.
Make sure you tell him that too.
If Jordan Mailata had to play in a regular season game this year, could he do it?
I think he's made a lot of progress. I mean, I really do. I think we're very pleased with, the way that he's been able to progress throughout the course of spring and training camp a year ago's time. He'd never played football or had played football for 3 or 4 weeks. So, this guy's done a good job, and we got to continue to go out there and get a little bit better every day. We know it's only going to get harder from here.
What does it say about Josh McCann that he was coach of high school football and then less than a week later he was running your offense in a preseason game?
Yeah, I think Josh is pretty unique that way, obviously, with the wealth of experience that he has, 18 years in the NFL, all the different systems that he's played in. He's had an opportunity to run probably just about every play there is or has ever been run or invented in football and can draw on that experience. It's just a matter of trying to process the language. And obviously, each system is a little bit different and has its own personality. So he's, in 5 days able to come in and perform like he did, says a lot about him and his abilities, both mentally and physically, the talent that he could come out there and mesh with those guys quickly.
What's the give and take like with you, Carson, Doug, the offensive guys, when you're figuring out plays, what plays might work, what plays won't work? Like, how does that dynamic?
Well, I think it's pretty universal. The coaching staff spends a lot of time trying to put the game plans together, but We have a lot of confidence and trust in our players, and I think that they have a lot of confidence and trust in the coaches. So, you know, we welcome any ideas that any and all players might have that we think have given us an advantage. And just having one of those kind of discussions here this morning, which is maybe one of the reasons why I was a couple minutes behind schedule.
Does Carson make a lot of those suggestions?
Carson watches a lot of tape. He's very involved and has great ideas. So, you know, we welcome all of those ideas and want to cultivate that. And he's not shy about, you know, giving his opinion on anything.
But if you have a running back, how difficult is it to make a decision on who you go into week one with? And how competitive has that group been throughout?
Well, I think it's accurately stated by you. It's a competitive group. It's going to be a really hard decision. That was their job, to try to make it really hard on us to try to make a decision, and I think that's brought the best out on them as well.
What has Collins shown you since kind of coming back from that hip injury and playing the preseason?
Yeah, Mac's done a good job in getting back. You know, he's gotten out there, made a couple catches the other night, done some good things, so looking forward to seeing him again Thursday night.
What's this preseason week like for you with a lot of regulars resting, but you get a chance to see some of these guys on the bubble one more time to get that live game action?
What was the beginning of that question? I'm sorry.
Obviously, a lot of the regulars rest for this last preseason.
Right.
What's it like for you as coaches to see some of these guys?
It's another tool. It's an important tool to be able to see these guys play, you know, an extended amount of time. Maybe some guys that are going to start the game that have been coming in the second quarter or the second half or something like that. Let's see how they start the game. Can they sustain a performance over a period of time in a game, not just for maybe a series or two? So, you know, anytime you get a good chance to go out in the stadium and play somebody new, it's an excellent chance to evaluate the players.
Coach, can you talk about how much Nate Herbig has progressed in his transition to center?
Right. I read something where, you know, was being talked about that he hadn't played center before, so that you can imagine how hard that transition might be. To be able to do that here in the NFL, and I think it's a credit to Coach Stout, you know, Roy Isfin, you know, the guys over there and working with the offensive line and getting him prepared to play both guard and center in this training camp. He's done both, and he's handled it well. Not where he needs to be yet. He's got work to do, but pleased with his progress.
What do you like about Matt Pryor?
I think we like Matt's size, his versatility, be able to play, you know, either guard spot. He's played tackle for us. You know, very similar, maybe I don't want to say in style, but in terms of the versatility, like we talked about Isaac, a lot of times, you know, Matt's not going to play center, but to be able to bounce back and forth and do that in the course of a game is not easy. Probably doesn't get talked about enough, or the guys that do it probably don't get enough credit for having the flexibility mentally and physically to be able to do it. And, you know, the more you can do, the more valuable you are.
What have Miles and Jordan shown you so far? Training camp and obviously in the games.
You're writing an art about the running backs, huh? you know, we like our backs. You know, both those guys, I think, you know, Jordan's had a bunch of success, you know, in the league, a lot of yards early in his career. And so we're excited about what he's bringing to our offense from that standpoint, his experience and, you know, and playing in the NFL on Sundays. He knows what that's all about, how to prepare, and we know we can count on him. You know, Miles is you know, what we thought he was when we drafted him. So we're excited just to get them both out there together and put our whole offense out there in the field and get going.
Thursday, when you say goodbye to a lot of players, I'm sure you've grown to like.
Yeah, you know, I was on the record last year saying the same thing around this time. You know, you root for everybody in this business. You know how hard they work and what they put into their effort and making a contribution to the team. And, you know, not everybody can make the team, but when it's all said and done, everybody that was in camp with us will have contributed to our team somehow and to our success going forward. But, yeah, I mean, guys make teams or don't make teams for a lot of reasons. You know, it could be numbers at their position. It could be scheme fit. It could be injury. You know, a lot of different things. And we've seen a lot of different guys that have scrapped their way up from the bottom in this league. We've got a lot of guys on our team that are contributors. So the longer you're around it, and I think the other human part of it is, you know, you have kids and you root for your own kids, you know, in life and different things that they're doing, and you see them have successes and you have failures. It gives you a better empathy for those guys. And my empathy for those guys has certainly increased over the tenure of my career.
Make a decision on is Deshaun Hall. How has he played? And has he graded out as well as he looked, you know, to us just in the games?
Well, pass rushers are important to us, not just pass rushers, but guys that can create havoc up front. And he's done a good job with that. Like you said, we asked him to gain some weight. He did that. Yeah, he's battled some injuries in the preseason. He had to leave the first game with an injury, but showed good toughness and came back from it. And when he's been on the field, he's been productive. Those are the things that we ask from guys. And, you know, like I said, sometimes numbers can be different at positions. Sometimes there's all kinds of different things, whether somebody makes the team or not. But he certainly put himself in a good position.
What did you think of Roddy McLeod finally getting back out there from that injury?
Yeah, it was good to have him back out there. Made a really nice play on his own read. Made another nice tackle on another play. You know, and he had a couple times in training camp where he sort of took some hits, which I think is important when you're coming back from a major injury like he did, just mentally, like, hey, I'm good, I'm okay. And I think that was a really good step for him, and it was good for our defense to have him back. He's such a calming influence on our team, on our defense in particular, and he does such a good job of communicating and executing the scheme. And, you know, it was good to have him back out there. We look forward to a great year from him. Just like, you know, some guys are like super rah-rah guys, like getting guys jacked up. You know, he's one of those guys that, you know, everybody just knows it's going to be okay when he's in there. You know, and I think there's an important part of that, too. He's stone cold with his communication. He's always in the right spot, do his job. I mean, those guys are valuable. Not everybody has to be, rah-rah, you know, sometimes it's, you know, a combination of that. And not that Rodney doesn't play with a lot of fire, he does. But I think when he's back there, his corners, his nickels, his linebackers, they all get a nice sense of calm because he's such a good communicator. He keeps them ahead of problems on the defense and puts everybody in good position.
Cornerback, you have
Ronald kind of coming back slowly here. We're getting back in the mix a little bit. How do you view, I mean, without training camp to evaluate guys, how do you look at that cornerback position with him coming back, but also Sidney and Russell being in there doing a good job?
Yeah, well, those guys played a lot of football for us last year, so it's not just what they've done in training camp, and I'm talking about Sol and Sid, and I'd even put Vontae in that mix. Guys that have played different corner positions for us. But the good thing about Darby is Darby, even though he hasn't played in preseason games, he's gotten some work in training camp, not just, you know, in some of our periods, but even against Baltimore. So, you know, he's been ramped up along the way. He's a veteran player, so I think that adds a little bit to it. And, you know, he's comfortable in our scheme. So now it's just a matter of, you know, getting the final touches on there. But, you know, one of the silver linings, I guess you'd say, of having so many injuries in the secondary last year is we had so many other people play, and it got experience, got them experience. So I think that puts not only them in a better position, but it puts our defense in a better position going forward, having more experienced players, and I would put all those guys in that.
You mentioned the importance of pass rushers. Over your time in the league, have you picked up on, I don't know if generality is the right word, but like the way guys develop over time in the league as a pass rusher? Do they usually have it when they come in? Is there like by the second or third year that they really seem to take off? Has there been any kind of pattern or generality that you might have picked up on, or is it totally individual-based?
Yeah, not with me. I mean, everybody's different. I mean, that's just life. You know, some guys, I was around Javon Curse's rookie year, and he set an NFL rookie sack record. I've also been around some guys that it took a little bit longer for them to get going. Kyle Vandenbosch suffered injuries three of his first 4 years or two of his first 3 years, like major injuries. And then we got him after that, and he really took off and had a great career after that. So everybody's a little bit different. Some people are still maturing physically. Some people are change in positions. Some people are, you know, just developing, you know, their technique and things like that. All that goes in. Not everybody's a finished product. So everybody's a little bit different, but there's certainly been examples of guys that have developed and have come on and had great careers.
To follow up on Jeff's question about the cornerbacks, who won that competition to start?
Which one? It's
opposite Ronald.
Yeah, you're going to have to get somebody else to, you know, nice try. But you know, honestly, we're still working. And we're not 100% set in stone. I'm sure the Washington team would like to know where we are right now with all that stuff. We'll just play close to the vest and see what our best groups are and how we can manage. I don't know if it's realistic for some players that coming back from injuries, and we have a lot that haven't played in preseason. I don't know if it's realistic for all those guys to play, every single one of those guys to play every single snap. That'll probably be a case-by-case basis also. So we'll see where it is.
What would you like to see your defense be better at this year than last year?
I don't know. I mean, I think the bottom line is just winning games. Our job is to keep the score down, and our job is to try to create some turnovers to, you know, put the offense in position. You know, that was one area we took a little bit of step back from over the previous year. You know, turnovers are sort of funny. You know, sometimes you chase them and you don't get them. You know, sometimes they come in bunches, you know, things like that. But, you know, when it's all said and done, that's really the way I look at defense is limit points and give your offense a chance and then also do something to help, and that's getting turnovers. And that's probably the biggest thing over the course of last year. We'd like to do a little better in takeaways.
What are your most vivid memories from the last time you played Case Keenum in the NFC Championship game?
I don't know. He had a really good year that year. Other team had a really good year that year. That just happened to be our day. It happened to be the city of Philadelphia's day. You know, I think, you know, a lot of times the first half of that game is a little bit of a blur. I remember, you know, P. Rob making that interception and scoring, and Derek Barnett getting the sack strip. You know, those were big plays. But, you know, honestly, the second half of that game moved in like slow motion and high speed at the same time, because it was obvious we were going to win the game. And, you know, it was just really cool. You know, it was sort of a party atmosphere the whole second half. And it was fun to be a part of that. You know, not every game comes down to the last minute. However, you got to win it, you got to win it. But that game, the second half was really a special experience. But that doesn't take anything away from Case Keenum. You know, he really had a great year that year, and we had to play really good defense to come out with that win, and, you know, we were able to.
Jim, how was getting closer to the start of the regular season? We haven't seen Fletcher Cox come all the way back yet. What are you seeing behind the scenes, and what's a fair expectation?
Yeah, I put him in that same group with a lot of those other guys that are coming back from injuries that haven't played in the preseason. He's a little bit different because he hasn't been on the practice field maybe as much. Has had some individual stuff and, you know, some stuff like that. But he's a veteran player. He's been around, and main thing is making sure that he's healthy and in shape and focused. And I know he's focused, and, you know, he's driving with all the other things. So we'll see where he gets.
How has Zach Brown progressed in the defense since the Pats came on training camp preseason?
Yeah, I mean, I think any new player, there's going to be an adjustment period. I think that was for Zach, but he's making good, steady progress. Like you mentioned, he's a physical player. You know, you see that when the lights come on. He does some really good things there. He's multidimensional. You know, the accumulation of practice reps covers a lot of things that, you know, come up over the course of the year, and things that maybe he's used to in his career doing a little bit different. And Zach's no different than Deho or, you know, any other vets that we've brought in. And as far as, you know, Malik Jackson's the same way. Malik has had, I don't want to even call him growing pains because that's not the right word, but sometimes, oh, that's the way you guys do it here. Okay, this is the way we did that in the past. And usually that's what you're dealing with when you're dealing with veteran players. They're not learning how to play football. It's more just learning how we play and the terminology and how everything fits together, and I put Zach in that category.
Good inside, Jim. Not every corner is suited to play in the slot. Why has he been so good at making that adjustment?
And number one, he's just a good football player. You know, I mean, he's a little small for defensive tackle, but I think he'd figure it out. I mean, that's just him. You know, I mean, how many rookies can you guys recall? I mean, I don't know any that started a game at safety, nickel, and corner in the same season when they were a rookie. It's tough duty. You know, it's tough to learn one position, much less two, much less three, and also experience success at each one of those. So we have confidence in him whenever he goes in the game. But, you know, he fits the description of a nickel. He's tough. He can tackle. He's got quickness. He also has speed. And he has really good awareness. You combine all those things, and those are things that are just going to make a good football player, regardless of nickel. And I literally, wherever he is on the field, we have confidence that he can get the job done, and he's given us that confidence through his play. Okay.
BGN.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com. Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.